waiting for you.
We praise God for each of you today, and we hope and pray that you have had a winning day, and that your mindset has been of such that you have decreed and declared a thing, and that you're walking in victory. And so we're excited about what God is doing and what he's already done, and for what he will do. For the word decrees that eyes haven't seen nor ears heard, neither have there entered into the heart of men the things that God has prepared for those who love him. I believe that we have some lovers of God on the call tonight, and great things are in store. The best is yet to come. And so we're excited about this study tonight, Lady Kim, as we continue in 2 Chronicles, this sixth chapter. We did get an opportunity to cover half of that chapter on last week. There are some 42 verses there. And so we're going to try to go ahead and clear the slate, if you will, of this sixth chapter and close out with these latter few verses tonight. You think we'll be able to do that?
I think we'll be able to do that.
All right. So we praise God for each of you. Let us know you're getting a clear signal as we prepare for this time together. And we decree that faith will be increased, because the word of the Lord is already decreed it, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so as a result of you hearing this word, something is going to happen in your spirit, man, that's going to lift you beyond where you are. And you won't leave the same the way that you came into this time of study tonight. You'll be different. Your faith level will have increased by the time that we finish this study tonight. Wouldn't you agree with me?
Absolutely.
Let us know you're getting a clear signal as we prepare to start tonight. Good to see our regional minister and president, Dr. Crystal Williams, on tonight. And Sister Myra says,
all's A-OK.
A-OK. All right. All right. I hadn't heard that in a while. But we praise God for each of you. Let's prepare with a word of prayer, and then we're going to be in 2 Chronicles, the sixth chapter, and the latter few verses, starting about around verse 23, I believe, and reading through
22 through 42.
All right. Okay, let's pray. God, we are eternally grateful for this day, and we thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. We thank you, dear Lord, for allowing us an opportunity to gather through this medium. We pray your blessings to be upon us as we engage in this study together. We believe that our faith is going to be increased, because you said in your word that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we stand on the promise, and we stand on your word, and we decree and declare that our faith is going to increase as a result of the time that we spend together. We ask that you would bless each person that will be a part of this study tonight. And we pray now that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. We love you and we honor you. We thank you for just seeing us through danger, seen and unseen. And you continue to keep us, and you continue to bless us, even in spite of ourselves. We don't take it lightly, nor do we take it for granted, because we know that you have made a way out of no way. You've opened doors that no man can shut. And you've shut some doors that no man can open. So we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to have a winning mentality. And we thank you, dear Lord, even as we move through this time together, that we shall win the day. It's in the powerful and marvelous and matchless name of Jesus, even the risen Christ, we pray. And those who love God said, amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Give God some thumbs up there. Give him some hearts. And if you believe that God is going to do something powerful in your situation, go ahead and just tell the Lord thank you in advance. And we can do that because we know that God is a prayer answering God. Isn't that right, Lady
Kim?
That's
right.
And we know that the best is yet to come. He not only hears, but he answers. And I want to encourage somebody even tonight that you're just a prayer away. So don't grow weary. Don't sit down and don't become lax right through here. Because stay on your game. Stay a top of your game. And know that you're just a prayer away. Come on, somebody type that. You're just a prayer away.
Just a prayer away.
All right, all right. So, Lady Kim, we're going to just kind of do a recap of what happened in our worship experience on yesterday. It was another full weekend. Would
yes,
you agree?
Yes, it was. We had a wonderful time in our leadership workshop, mm-hmm. Institute for Leadership Training. We ended module one on a grand scheme of things with the workshop on Saturday, focusing on leadership.
Okay.
And so we had a wonderful speaker, Brian Harris, to come in and talk about leadership.
Okay.
So it was awesome.
Okay. All right. And that took place on Saturday. And tell us a little bit more. Some people are probably trying to figure out what you're making reference to in terms of the module and the leadership. Some people may not be aware of what you're making reference to.
Okay, well, we have a leadership institute. All of our leaders are required to go through a leadership institute, which gets them familiar with how Anointed Temple of Praise operates and what we require and expect from our leaders.
Okay,
and it's a training, so to speak. Not so to speak, but it's a training. Amen. Leadership training
16
process.
Weeks, right? 16 weeks, yeah.
Of leadership process. And so we're excited because the last institute, I think we had 23 people to complete it.
Now 33.
33 people
yeah,
to complete
it. Yeah, we got 23 in
and
this
23
one.
This time.
That's right. Yeah.
So God is faithfully, you know, sending people to Anointed Temple of Praise, and people are interested in leadership. So we thank God for that.
Well, that's key because not only is it just for our leaders, but even potential leaders, and then those who are perhaps on the fence, if you will, trying to discern the voice of God, this would be an excellent opportunity for you to just get a sense of what God is saying and understand how important leadership is. This institute really takes us through four modules: leadership, discipleship, stewardship, and evangelism. And we added another component to that, our outreach component. And we believe that once the leaders have finished, then you have a gift assessment, and you also get an opportunity to be involved in workshops. And we believe that once these leaders have completed these assignments, once they have looked at their assessment, that they are charged and energized and ready for ministry. And we try to connect them based upon their gift set with the ministry that will match that, so that our methods will match the ministry and that we'll have people in the right seats on the bus. Isn't that right?
Amen. That's right. Because, you know, sometimes people can be on the bus and be in the wrong seat.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and sometimes people are on the bus. Well, I'm not going to even go there.
No,
that,
go ahead.
That need to get off the bus.
Okay.
Off the bus in terms of where they're serving in mm-hmm. you know, where they're serving. No, that's not right, because they need to change seats.
Change seats.
They
that's
need to
right.
change
that's
seats.
Right.
We need everybody on the bus.
Everybody
but
on the bus.
But unfortunately, you know, just like a real bus or a physical bus, some people get on
mm-hmm.
and ride the whole way. Some people get off intermittently,
mm-hmm.
you know, but we can't worry about those who get off. We just have to keep the bus moving forward.
Okay.
And so, you know, but there are some people on the bus that are in the right seat. They're doing the work. They're great leaders, and their gifts match up with the ministry that they're in. But there are others that are in ministries or leading ministries that are possibly not fit to lead those ministries.
Wow,
now, it doesn't mean that they're not fit to be leaders.
Mm-hmm.
It just means that they're in the wrong seat.
Okay,
they have to change spots. And so that's where the gift assessment comes in. We
mm-hmm.
learn how exactly how we fit in on the bus journey.
Okay. That's a great analogy. And that doesn't take away from the fact that you are saved and that you know the Lord and you have accepted Him as Lord and Savior. But it's a distinct privilege and an honor when God calls you out of the ranks to leadership. And we believe that you should be prepared and that you should have a sense of confidence in terms of how you're leading. And so even if you are in the wrong seat and you're not being effective in what you're doing, it's a possibility that you might need to change seats, or you might need to be a follower. You know, you can't really be a good leader unless you are a great follower. Isn't that right?
That's right.
And so some people are called to be followers, and others are called to be leaders. Wouldn't you agree with me?
Absolutely. Yeah. And some people are so zealous, and zeal is good, mm-hmm. but zeal without knowledge is not good.
All right,
you know,
Professor.
So sometimes we have to sit underneath someone mm-hmm. and learn mm-hmm. how to lead. Mm-hmm. When you sit under someone and learn how to lead, then you'll be a better leader.
That's right. And that's crucial, because we're encouraging even all of our leaders to make sure they look out for mentors or be a mentor to those who exhibit gifts, or those who are trying to, you know, move up in the ranks, or they have a sense of this desire to want to be involved, then we should have a spirit of discernment about us to notice those who are coming and committed and who are participating. I think Brian did an excellent illustration with the pig and the, what was it?
Chicken.
What was that all about?
That, you know, the chicken wanted to give the farmer a great breakfast for mm-hmm. being such a good farmer, you know, and he asked the pig to be a participant in that.
Okay.
And the pig was saying, well, no, because I have to make a total commitment. You just have to make a contribution.
Wow.
With your eggs. I have to make a total commitment by giving my life so the farmer can have some bacon and some ham
uh-huh.
and some pork. Pork chops. And some pork chops. So, you know, are you one that's willing to be totally committed? See, that
okay.
pig would have to be totally committed.
To the process.
To the
right?
process. Uh-huh. But the chicken would not have to.
Uh-huh.
So that doesn't mean you got to kill somebody or you got to kill yourself.
Right,
it
right.
just means that you have to be totally committed
right.
to the process.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Well, tell us a little bit about what you discerned in the worship experience on yesterday as well. We're talking now about the Institute for Leadership Training, and we're talking about the excitement that's yet filling the air at ATOP with our leaders. And I tell you, they're on fire. They're excited. They're moving, and we already have set some goals in terms of what we're praying and asking God to do through our leaders. I'm really looking for 50 committed, dedicated leaders
yes,
who are willing to make that total commitment.
Yes.
Yeah. And
call
it's
those
not,
things.
That's
that
right.
Yes.
And then our attendance in worship has increased, and we're
Jesus.
Stabilizing that. But we're expecting at least 250 people in worship on each Sunday. That's one of the goals that we've been praying around. I need about 15 people who would touch and agree with me around that, and
yes,
and
Lord.
Fervently pray and believe God for 250 active worshipers each Sunday, and an active list of about 50 leaders who are committed, like the pig, to give everything they can. And I tell you, God is going to bless in a powerful and a mighty way if we do that. And we'll be a model for others who are yet trying to find their way, because they see how committed we are.
Amen.
Can I get about 15 people who don't mind just touching and agreeing with me
yes.
around that one goal that we're trying to see God do? I believe God's going to do it. And I just hope that you will be with me and praying that it will come to pass. Somebody say it, and
it
is so.
Amen, it is so. We have some in agreement.
It is so.
That's
right. Glory God.
Hallelujah.
So tell us a little bit about the worship experience yesterday, Lady Kim, and then we had quite a bit of information as well as inspiration, because we had our mid-year congregational meeting mm-hmm. right after worship on yesterday.
Amen. Well, again, we had a wonderful time in worship as you continued in the series Win the Day.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a sermon entitled Enough is Enough
mm-hmm.
from Mark, the 5th chapter. And you kind of skipped a little bit. You did. You came from Mark, the 5th chapter, 21 through 24. And then you skipped down to verses 35 through 43 just to kind of succinctly tie that story together, because
okay.
there's a story interjected in between
that's right.
the,
that's
that
right.
story.
That's right. There's a whole nother sermon in between.
Absolutely.
Right.
And so you talked about, you know, when Jesus met the man named Jairus. Mm-hmm. And Jairus' daughter was ill.
Right.
And he came to Jesus and asked Jesus to heal his daughter. Mm-hmm. He said his daughter was so sick. And then you
he
had...
He was a synagogue ruler too, right?
He was a ruler.
Okay. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt your flow.
He was a synagogue ruler, and he wanted Jesus to, you know, come to his house again to heal his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And you had several points for your sermon that your faith has to be bigger than this.
Mm-hmm.
So your faith has to be as such that you believe that God can do the impossible from afar.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
Your faith has to be, because Jesus was there, he was asking him to heal his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus was not physically in the same room as she was, or in the same
place
when they started out.
Okay. And that's why it's important to understand about the role and the rank and the responsibility that this synagogue ruler had. Because he was willing to reduce himself to the point where he was going to submit to Jesus, and he was not going to allow his title or his position or his rank to get in the way, and he was not worried about what people were going to say about him breaking protocol. And I think oftentimes, Lady Kim, when we find ourselves in need of a win or in need of a blessing, sometimes our titles and our position and what we do on our secular job and what we do that people see us doing, we many times don't want to yield ourselves to go what it might look like lower than our title or our position if we're in a need, if we're in need for God to do something for us.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people would rather hold on to the title, hold on to the prestige, hold on to the accolades, and miss out on their blessing. And so that's where that first point comes in, where Jairus said, my faith is bigger than this. Mm-hmm. I've got to press my way because I need a blessing. I need a win. I need a breakthrough. I need healing and for my daughter, and I'm going to do what's necessary in order for that to happen.
And so, in other words, you're saying that we're not going to let our pride stand.
That's right. That's right.
Because
that's right.
Pride is something that is a blessing blocker.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
It'll stand in the way of us receiving our blessing. Mm-hmm. We're too proud to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
We're too proud to have someone to pray for us. We're too proud to go, to go out of our way in order to have our problems resolved.
Mm-hmm.
So don't let pride stand in your way.
That's right.
If
That's
you
good.
Need help, seek the help you need and don't let pride stand in your way. So Jairus did not allow his pride or his position to stop him from asking Jesus to heal his daughter.
Okay. All right. That's good. That was the first point, and you added a whole nother layer to that. You going to do a part two on that? All right. We're not going to make you make a commitment tonight, so you can pray about it.
Okay, number two. Your second point was sometimes delays can cause us to doubt.
Okay.
And we said at the onset of Bible study that there was another story in between the beginning of Jairus' daughter's healing miracle and how it ended.
Mm-hmm.
So as he was talking to Jesus about coming to or healing his daughter,
mm-hmm.
we get the story of the woman with the issue of blood.
That's right. That's
it burst in on the scene.
Right.
You know, here comes this woman in the crowd and touches the hem of Jesus' garment. And so, you know, there was a delay there.
Mm-hmm.
And just because you're delayed, sometimes the enemy will plant seeds of doubt.
Okay,
and
that's
good. And so we have to know Jesus for ourselves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and then to win today, our history is our track record that we are overcomers.
Okay.
When God has done something in the past, we know that he can do it again.
Do it again.
And bring us out. So we can't doubt what God can do.
That's good. That's
we can't
good.
Lose sight of what God has done in the past. So again, that interruption was there when the woman with the issue of blood enters the scene and Jesus heals her when she touches the hem of his garment. But then we get right back to Jairus' story,
mm-hmm.
you know, and how Jesus, how they let Jairus know that now your daughter is dead,
mm-hmm.
you know.
They were trying to give him a whole lot of doubt in Jairus. They leave Jesus alone.
Right.
Your daughter's dead. Why you keep bothering the man? Leave right. him alone.
But Jesus pressed. They pressed their way.
They pressed their way. That's right. And so what happened? And once they got to the house, it was interesting to me how Jesus selected, because there was a whole lot of commotion going on.
Mm-hmm.
It was a whole lot of wailing, the Bible says, and the people were mourning, if you will, the loss of the daughter. They saw her in there on the bed dead. And so Jesus took Peter, James, and John and the mother and the father mm-hmm. in the room with him and told everybody else, leave, get out. And sometimes we have to make sure that the people who are believing with us are willing to go the full extent and trust God even at the ninth hour, even when it looks like a situation is dead, and we know that God is able to bring back that which seems to be dead. And so he went in the room with him, and I mean, it was a miracle that happened. He told the girl to get up, and then he told him to go fix her something to eat. And the people were astonished, and they were amazed. And at the end of that story, Jesus says, "Now see that I tell no man." But that would have been something hard for me to keep,
mm-hmm.
you know, once seeing that kind of power being exhibited, and how that was a win for me. That was a win for them. And we too have to press through all of the doubters, the haters. We have to press through all of the things that are trying to hold us and hinder us from getting what we need from Jesus, and you'll get a win in the end.
A win in the end, a win every time.
That's right.
And, you know, delay does not always mean denial.
That's right.
You
That's
know,
right.
sometimes it does,
mm-hmm.
but not always.
Mm-hmm.
What is in God's perfect will come to pass.
That's right.
So sometimes delay is not denial.
Okay.
Sister Loretta said that also the woman with the issue of blood, her faith was big as well.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
when she
mm-hmm.
pressed her way, she didn't let that crowd stop her.
That's right.
She said, "If I can just touch his clothes."
That's right.
"If I can just touch his clothes, I know I'll be all right."
That's right. That's
you
right.
know, yes, yeah, so that's good. And so, again, delay does not mean denial. Just because Jesus stopped to take care of the woman with the issue of blood, he was delayed getting to Jairus' house, that doesn't mean that the miracle would not happen.
Right,
it did
right,
happen. And
right.
we already talked about how Jesus put everybody out.
Mm-hmm,
all
mm-hmm.
the weeping and wailing folk, all them people making all that noise and stuff. He told them, "Go, y'all going outside somewhere with all that foolishness."
That's right.
And
that's
he
right.
let mama and dad and Peter, James, and John come in with himself. And Jesus rose the little girl from the dead. So I'm glad they just said Jairus' daughter,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we can insert whatever situation we want right there.
That's good.
And God can raise up our dead situations.
That's right.
There. You know, whatever it is that you consider dead and lifeless, God can put some life
those
in.
Those dreams and those aspirations.
Absolutely.
That book that you got on the shelf that you're saying you're going to write, that promotion that you're looking for. You know, God can raise that back up, and he will give you new life and give you a powerful testimony, a charge to keep and a God to glorify. And so there's so much in that portion of scripture,
mm-hmm.
but we really wanted to make sure that people understood that Jairus, he got to a point where he said, "Enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
Yeah, I'm going to press my way. I'm going to do what's necessary. I'm not going to let distractors hold me back. I'm not going to let doubt hinder me from getting deliverance for my daughter." And it's interesting there, Lady Kim, because he went through all of this, not for himself,
mm-hmm.
but for his daughter.
Yes.
How many of us will be willing to make that kind of commitment and sacrifice for somebody else, because most of the time it's all about us.
Mm-hmm.
But Jairus made sure that it was not even about him. He didn't ask Jesus for anything for himself. He said, Lord, if you could just, say a word from where you are, I believe you can do it.
Amen.
But Jesus pressed his way, and so that's a powerful testimony. I think you got a couple of comments that look like Minister Loretta shared some there. What does it say?
She said, everybody that comes with you won't go with you.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
So
everybody that start out, not necessarily end up with you where God is leading you.
Right. And absolutely.
Many times you see that happens in the family. It happens with your friends. You know, and so sometimes you have to shake the dust and keep going and be all that God has called you to be. You got to trust the timing of God and know that he is indeed, he is indeed an on-time God. He may not come when you want him to. That's a word for somebody tonight who's about to give up and throw in the towel. Let me encourage you not to grow weary in well-doing. God is working something out in you. And what he has said he would do, it shall come to pass. And so don't grow weary in well-doing, because in due season you shall reap if you faint not.
Amen.
That's a word for somebody who's listening even tonight.
Amen. And just to close out on that so we can get to the real study tonight, you know, enough is enough. Your faith, you know, is bigger than that. But the last thing is, what stands between you and your win?
Okay.
What stands
okay.
between you and your win?
That's good.
You know, don't allow anything to come before you and your win. Don't put things before God, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those other things shall be added unto you. That's the word of God.
That's it.
For the people of God.
And the people said,
amen.
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 All right. Well, great. Great recap, Lady Kim. And we had our mid-year congregational meeting afterwards, but we try to make sure that we have set the tone for our culture at A-Time to keep the people informed and engaged, not to wait till the end of the year, but we have a mid-year congregational meeting so that we can even gauge where we are with our goals and with our aspirations as a congregation, and with our wins, and see where we are and what we need to do, if we have to make a shift, or if we have to go a little faster or slow down. And so it was an exceptional, in my opinion, mid-year congregational meeting, and we had 80 plus people to stay. What, about 86-87 people to stay and participate? And the meeting didn't last but about 35, 40 minutes.
Absolutely. The quickest congregational meeting we ever had.
Yeah. So,
but that's because things were so done so excellently.
Mm-hmm. And so I praise God for the pastoral team and all of those who are leading, and our financial team and financial committee, and all of the hard work that our volunteers as well as our members have put into, they're embracing the vision, and they are excited about what God is doing. And so I yet praise God for a committed and dedicated group
yes.
of believers.
Yes, Lord.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's look at 2 Chronicles tonight, the 6th chapter, the latter few verses, starting at around verse 23. We see that in 22, I'm sorry, we see that this is where David is continuing this prayer of dedication, and the temple has already been built, and they are already gone in. The 5th chapter was one that really was celebratory as they made their way into the temple, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The power and the presence of God was of such till they were not even able to finish the order of service, and it was an awesome time in the Lord. And we've been asking and praying that God will allow that kind of atmosphere to just rest in the house.
Amen.
That we get so full of his presence and so, engulfed by what he's doing in our lives till we just lose it. And we just lose it in him. And So we continue to pray that that happens, and we believe that God will show himself strong on our behalf. But that fifth chapter really is a continuation of what's happening here in the sixth chapter. And Lady Kim went through those 21 verses last week, where David is really setting the tone in terms of his prayer of dedication and also his prayer of commitment. And he's really speaking to God, not only on behalf of himself, but on behalf of the people, and asking that God will forgive them of their sins. He goes through a lengthy time. This whole sixth chapter is really a long prayer. Wouldn't you agree?
It is an extended prayer.
Extended prayer. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
And so we want to pick it up at verse number 22 tonight, the Second Chronicles, the sixth chapter. And you ready to go ahead and read a little bit? How far you want to go tonight?
Yes. Well, since we have, 42 verses?
Well, it's only 21, though. We already covered the first part.
Right. Uh-huh. I was going to say half of that. Yes.
Okay. 11?
Yes.
Okay. So that'll stop at what? 20?
I don't know. Let's just read until I find a good break.
Yes,
so you
ma'am.
Just tell me when to stop.
All right. Okay? What you want me to do? You want me to say read or stop?
Read, stop.
Okay.
Do both of that for me. Whatever.
All right. I got you.
All right. If I can get through this.
All right.
I might need a little help.
What's going
okay.
on?
With verse number 22, Second Chronicles.
All right.
The sixth chapter reads thusly.
Read. You told me to say that. Go ahead.
When anyone wrongs their neighbor and is required to take an oath, and they come and swear the oath before your altar in this temple, then hear from heaven and act.
Mm-hmm.
Judge between your servants, condemning the guilty and bringing down on their heads what they have done, and vindicating the innocent by treating them in accordance with their innocence. When your people Israel have been defeated by an enemy because they have sinned against you, and when they turn back and give praise to your name, praying and making supplication before you in this temple, then hear them from heaven and forgive the sins of your people Israel and bring them back to the land you gave to them and their ancestors.
Okay.
When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because your people have sinned against you, and when they pray towards this place and give praise to your name and turn from their sin because you have afflicted them, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel. Teach them the right way to live and send rain on the land you gave your people for an inheritance. Keep going?
Yes.
When famine or plague comes to the land, or blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, or when enemies besiege them in any of their cities, whatever disaster or disease may come, and when a prayer or plea is made by anyone among your people Israel, being aware of their afflictions and pains and spreading out their hands towards this temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, forgive and deal with everyone according to all they do, since you know their hearts. For you alone know the human heart, so that they will fear you and walk in obedience to you all the time they live in the land you gave our ancestors.
Okay.
That was verse 31.
Okay, let's stop right there. Because much of what you've already read from verse 22 to 31, is that right? It's really Solomon petitioning God to hear the cries of the people, and even if they kind of fall off the track or they move off of the rail a little bit, if so to speak, he wants God to forgive them. He spoke about how important it was for his servants to be forgiven and to restore them.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also mentioned, as you were reading, about how what they would had learned, that they would that it would teach them what they needed to do going forward. And so I heard repentance coming out of that. I heard restoration, forgiveness. And he was not so much caught up in just praying for himself, but he was more interested, if you will, in making sure that the people had an outlet for if they fell short or if they did not live up to the expectation that God had placed upon their lives.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things we need to understand about the temple is that the temple grounds were used as a place to verify and authorize oaths.
Okay.
When a dispute comes down to one person's word against another, Solomon asked that the temple would be a place to properly swear by. Mm-hmm. So people would go there to try to rectify their situations. So Solomon asked the God who can see what man cannot see, who knows the hidden heart of man, to enforce from heaven the oath made at the temple and judge God's servants by avenging the wicked, making amends his way on his own head, and prove to be right and giving him a person morally right and virtuous, excellent redemption. Mm-hmm. So in other words, Solomon wanted God to rectify mm-hmm. things by mm-hmm. intervening mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. making the righteous person to be the one who was the one to have a redemption.
Okay, that's good. And so it's interesting there, because Solomon was given a holistic approach to whatever situation might occur, so that the people would understand that God was going to have the final say-so, and that he was going to be the one, the righteous judge, who was going to vindicate if needed be, and he would be the one who would punish mm-hmm. those who were not doing what they were supposed to do.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's good. That's good. You see any comments there?
No comments.
Okay. Good to see Pastor Marquise McPherson on tonight. Good to see you. Our tallest Timothy. We haven't had one come through yet. That's
taller than he is.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. All right. Well, let's pick it back up at verse number 31. And we're in 2 Chronicles, the 6th chapter. Lady Kim just finished reading verses 22 through 30. Is that
31.
Right? 31. Mm-hmm. So let's pick it up at verse 32. What translation
That's
is that?
That's the NIV version.
Okay, the NIV. All right. Mm-hmm. You moved from your message.
Message, but I read from several different translations.
Okay.
And the one that speaks to me the most in that particular at that time.
That's what you learned in school last week?
No, I didn't learn that in school last week.
I'm just checking. Because you had a very intense week last week.
I did. It was exciting and intense and stressful all at the same time.
All at the same time. But you made it.
I made it. Praise God.
You had a win. You won the whole week.
I won the week. Not right. just the day. I won day by day.
Day by day.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. 2 Chronicles 6:32.
Mm-hmm.
As for the foreigner who does not belong to your people Israel, but has come from a distant land because of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm, when they come and pray towards this temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place. Do whatever the foreigner asks of you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your own people Israel. And may know that this house I have built bears your name.
Okay.
When your people go out to war against their enemies, wherever you send them, and when they pray to you towards this city you have chosen and the temple I have built for your name, then hear from heaven their prayers and their plea, and uphold their cause. When they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, and you become angry with them and give them over to the enemy, who takes them captive to a land far away or near. And if they have a change of heart in the land where they are held captive and repent, and plead with you in the land of their captivity and say, we have sinned, we have done wrong and acted wickedly. And if they turn back to you with all their heart and soul in the land of their captivity where they were taken and pray towards the Lord you gave their ancestors, towards the city you have chosen and toward the temple I have built for your name, then from heaven, your dwelling place, hear their prayers and their pleas and uphold their cause and forgive your people who have sinned against you. Now, my God, may your eyes be open and your ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Now arise, Lord God, and come to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. You and the ark of your might. May your priests, Lord God, be clothed with salvation. May your faithful people rejoice in your goodness. Lord God, do not reject your anointed one. Remember the great love promised to David, your servant.
Okay, that's powerful, isn't it? So it's a continuation in what we're seeing through these verses and through these few chapters that we've read. It seems as if all of this happened in one day, but this was over the course of some 7 days, and then they went into another period of celebration after that. And so Solomon is being very specific, and he's determined mm-hmm. to make sure that they understand the power and the presence of God, and mm-hmm. also they get an opportunity to see again the forgiving nature of God. And even for those who were visiting in the land who had an opportunity to witness the power of God, mm-hmm. that they would take that same witness with them wherever they go of the righteousness of God. And so it was almost like it was evangelistic outreach that was happening even during that particular time. And I think one of the things that you shared was that, you know, we hear the scripture, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Solomon even expresses here that everybody has sinned, you yes. know, God, and we need you to have mercy. We need you to be a loving and a kind and a gracious God and show forth your presence in terms of forgiving and restoring and helping them to recognize your presence and your might in their situations.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing was that the temple was in Israel, but it was supposed to be a house of prayer for all nations.
Right, right.
Wanting to,
that's good.
You know, even the Gentiles mm-hmm. to be a place where the nations would come and pray.
Okay, okay. So this prayer really kind of closes out with Solomon going back and making sure that God recognized his dad, David, and also understanding that he was following the same covenant that was established with David, and he wants God to honor that through him as the leader during this time. And so he puts it all in proper perspective, and he wanted to continue to walk in the statutes, if you will, in the ordinances that his dad had already set in place. And he was asking God to honor that by allowing him to be the one to continue to lead the people.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So what do you have there, Lady Kim, that will kind of help us get a sense of maybe a takeaway from this entire sixth chapter?
One of the things that we saw Solomon do, you know, he prayed for others.
He prayed for
foreigners in another mm-hmm. land, in mm-hmm. you know, in other lands, that if they were to ask God to forgive them and turn back to God, he asked God to, you know, do a work on their behalf.
Mm-hmm.
And so that gives us a clear indication that we are to pray on the behalf of others and ourselves because of sins and because of problems. Asking God for help.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then all of us need God.
Right, right.
Solomon said, the Lord has kept his promise. He prayed, O Lord, if anyone prays towards this place, then hear from heaven and act. So he's asking for God to continue to act on their behalf as long as we pray and call out to God for God to act on our behalf.
Well, what really kind of stood out as you were sharing that is that the importance of us praying for others and not to get so caught up in always trying to get a prayer through for ourselves. Because many times, I believe God looks at how we are able to lay aside some of our needs in order to help and assist somebody else.
Absolutely.
And many times we don't pray for others as we ought. We have a team of intercessors who, of course, that's their specialty. But all of us should develop a model for praying for others. And I just believe, Lady Kim, in doing so, God honors our faith and he releases special blessings on us because we dare to not get so caught up in just me, my four, and no more.
All right, man.
And he sees that we are serious about the needs of others.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. So it's always important to pray for others.
That's right.
And I believe that in the process of praying for others, then our needs are met.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Well, we're getting ready to wrap this up tonight. If there are prayer requests, we want you to go ahead and mention those now as we try to come to the close of this time together. We have covered the sixth chapter. In our next time together, we will look at the seventh chapter. Do you have your outline there? Mm-hmm. I kind of lost track of all of my information. I was rearranging my office, and I don't know what I did with it, but there are 22 verses in chapter 7. And so we'll pick that up on next Monday. And so we want to encourage you to go ahead and read those 22 verses there. But if there are prayer requests, go ahead and mention those as we're preparing to close out tonight. And Lady Kim is going to jot down those requests even as you are putting them on the feed tonight. We're certainly grateful for how God is yet sustaining us in the midst of everything that we're going through. And just as we've been preaching, teaching, and talking about winning the day, we have to make sure that we are consistent and that even if we don't see what we are believing God to do in our situations, know that many times God is at work, not many times, but he's still at work in our lives. And oftentimes when we don't see what we are anticipating God doing, God is perhaps trying to get something done in us to get us ready for what he's trying to bring to pass in our lives so that we can be ready for the blessing or the breakthrough or the win that he has in store for us. Mm-hmm. So I want to encourage you again not to grow weary, even if it doesn't look like what you think it ought to be. Trust the timing of God. Continue to be faithful and committed and dedicated to what God is, what you've asked God to do. And we see Brother Darrell on tonight. We had an opportunity to pray with him today. And he's in the process of, what did he say?
Getting ready to go home.
Getting ready to go home. That's
praise
right.
Praise God.
And so we praise God for that. And so we're excited that God is yet still answering prayers there. And any other prayer requests that you see there, Lady Kim?
Yes, Sister Geraldine Orange is asking for prayer. She's having a procedure on tomorrow.
Okay.
And then we want to lift up Brother Andrew Lawson in the loss of his sister.
Mm-hmm.
We will give you that information as soon as we find out. Brother James Shotwell, who's at rehab, we want to continue to lift him up. We want to continue to lift up James Cato and his family.
That's
you know,
right.
Several weeks ago, they had a severe house fire and lost everything. So we know that there's, you know, a big transition that takes place. You know, even though things can be repurchased, we're glad no lives were lost.
That's right.
It's still a struggle and a strain when you lose everything. Even something as simple as a family photo.
That's right.
Can mean something very dear to you.
That's right.
And so we pray for that. We pray for our region and the upcoming General Assembly. in Louisville, Kentucky, that will take place at the end of this month and the beginning that goes into the first week of August. Mm-hmm. So we pray for our regional minister and the Tennessee region also.
Okay, okay.
All right.
Well, you see any more coming through?
Not at the present time.
Okay. Well, we're a little bit early. Let's go ahead and have prayer and just thank God for this time that he's allowed us to spend together tonight.
Amen. Gracious God in heaven, we thank you tonight for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. We pray, oh God, a special blessing to be upon the bereaved tonight, God. We ask a special blessing on the family of Andrew Lawson in the loss of their sister. We ask that you would wrap your loving, tender arms around them, oh
yes,
God,
Lord. Yes,
and comfort them as they go through. We know that your word says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning.
Thank you, God.
So, God, we ask that the joy come right early. God, we thank you for healing Brother Daryl Taylor and
Glory
allowing him to
Glory
go home, oh God.
Hallelujah.
Heal him, oh God, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet.
Yes, God.
We ask for a healing for Brother James Shotwell right now, God. Heal him and continue to allow him to make recovery, positive recovery, God, in the rehab center. We lift up Sister Geraldine Orange to you, God, on the impending procedure on tomorrow. We thank you you're going to be the surgeon in
yes,
that operating
God.
Room.
Yes, God.
We thank you, oh God, that all things are going to turn out exactly as the doctor hopes.
Hallelujah.
And we give you praise for a successful procedure on tomorrow. God, we lift up James Cato and his family as they continue to
yes,
go
God.
Through
yes,
and
God.
Recover from the fire that they experienced. We pray a special blessing for Mother Gracie Bradley, God. Mm-hmm. Continue to watch over and keep her, God. And God, we pray for the region of Tennessee, oh God.
Yes,
continue,
God.
Oh God,
yes, God.
To guide us and lead us,
yes,
oh God.
Yes, God.
And to give us direction and directive, oh God, as we press forth in your name. We pray special blessings to be upon the General Assembly that's going to take place starting July the 31st and through the first week of August. We ask God for traveling grace and mercy for all those who will be traveling to Louisville, Kentucky. And then, God, we ask that the business sessions go well and that decisions be made, oh God, that will be impactful for the body of Christ.
Thank you, God.
Now, God, allow us to continue to go forward in your name. Bless Anointed Temple of Praise as we continue to work towards the vision that you have given our shepherd. We thank you for all those who are committed, oh God, just like the pig is committed to the farmer to give all, oh God, so he can have a sumptuous meal. We thank you for the commitment of all those in our church body. We ask that you would continue to bless us, continue to allow us to meet the needs of your people, and continue, oh God, to allow your Holy Ghost power to move among us. We love you, we thank you, we bless you, and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let me mention one more thing. God, I pray for the Harper family right now,
yes,
God, and the loss of Eric Harper, God, mm-hmm. my brother-in-law's brother. I ask, oh God, that you would give them the peace that surpasseth all
thank
understanding,
you, God.
God, with the turmoil they're faced because of family difficulties. But we thank you, oh God, that you are a need-meeting God. So wrap your loving arms and comforting arms around the Harper family tonight, God, that everything will be done in decency and in order. We thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and praise God. All right. Well, we're certainly grateful for each of you participating and being a part of this time together. And we will continue to pray as we make our way. And don't forget, there's a win with your name on it, and you are a winner. There's a winner on the inside of you, so continue to press toward that mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining. See you next Monday. See you Sunday. Amen.
See you Thursday.
See you Thursday at
What's
Family Fun
Thursday?
Night.
That's
Family
right.
Fun Night. Be there at 5:30 because we're assigning the bowling lanes at 5:30. Getting wristbands and tickets for food at 5:30. So come on, A-Top. Come on, show us your skills at Family Fun Night. This is not just for the kids.
That's right.
If you signed up, it's for the adults as well.
Absolutely.
So let's come out and have fun as a church family. If you didn't sign up, it's not too late. Just come on, bring your $20, and we'll add you to the numbers, okay?
That's right.
See you at main event, 5:30 p.m. this coming Thursday. Amen?
All right.
All right.
Be blessed.